thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace, the triumphs of His grace.
My gracious
out there, and the adult and elderly people still speak in the Navajo language. All the kids speak in English. And most of the adults know enough English to understand and even carry on conversation. But their native tongue they still use with each other. And I thought about that scripture that says, out of every nation, tribe, tongue, there's going to be people around that throne. Amen. Singing the praises of God. Be more than 1,000 tongues in that day. I'll pray tell you that much. Be a ton of them. That's wonderful. 1 Thessalonians 5. Maybe some of you are already there. You thought ahead a little bit. We've been there for two Sundays. Now we're on our third. I was told by Brother Marty that Lou's here this morning. Lou, I couldn't see you because you're sitting behind Eric Britt. Amen. And Brother Eric's a big old boy, so I didn't see you, but I'm glad you're here today. What a blessing to have you in the service. You've been sick in the nursing home and hospital, and now back with us, and that is a blessing this morning. Glad to see Lou. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's stand together. We're just going to read verse 18, okay? The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So we looked at verse 16, "Rejoice evermore." We looked at verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Now today, God's will concerning thanksgiving. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help us today. The songs, without anybody putting any kind of thought to it, as far as on purpose, have been about Jesus and His name. What a wonderful name. And we rejoice in it. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to sing your praises this morning and look forward to the day where there will be thousands upon thousands lifting up praise to you. Help us now in this hour, speak to our hearts, Spirit of God. Help me. You know the mind physically and the condition it's in, a little fuzzy. But I, Lord, in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. Fill us all today with your Spirit in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. A lot of people have a copy of Matthew Henry's commentary in their library at home, or maybe if you have a Bible program on your computer, one of the things that came with it was Matthew Henry's commentary. Now, Henry lived in England, and he started preaching in 1687. He wrote those well-known commentaries, and they're well-used, by the way. He wrote those between the years of 1708 and 1710. For 3 years it took him to do that. I'm surprised he did it that quickly. But once while he was traveling, He was attacked by thieves, and he was robbed. And later on, while meditating or thinking about the robbery, Henry wrote these words, and I quote from him, his writing. Quote, "Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took all I possessed, it was not much. And fourth, don't miss this one, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." End of quote. Now, folks, that spirit, Tom, is this a little loud today or is it just me? Is it a little loud out there? A little bit. I thought so I could hear it, though, so just a little bit. That spirit is the essence of what Paul wrote in this verse. When he wrote, "In everything, give thanks." You know, we're tempted to believe, well, that means most things. That can't mean everything. Well, that's not what it says. You wonder how in the world could you find a reason to be thankful in a robbery? He didn't find just one. He found four reasons to be thankful. Now, these short directives are given to the people in Thessalonica and recorded for our benefit, of course. They seem pretty broad. They really do. It's not just rejoice. It's rejoice evermore. It's not just pray, you know, it's not just pray. It's pray without ceasing. And it's not just give thanks. It's in everything give thanks. These are big, broad things. But we should not run from them. And we shouldn't really attempt to explain them away. We should embrace them. We should employ them. You know, if we do, we'll enjoy the benefits that come with it. Okay, we'll enjoy the benefits. Now, thanksgiving is a part of what is defined as prayer. We talked about it a little bit last week. The main definition of prayer is asking. We looked at that from the Scripture, what the word prayer means in the Bible. Pray means to ask. So the main definition of prayer is asking, but giving of thanks falls under prayer's umbrella, okay? And so that's why Paul includes it here, and he gives us these two statements. The first statement is a command. The second is the explanation of the statement. They are independent of each other, just joined together by the use of a colon. Okay? So you got the command, you got the explanation. So I'm going to just preach it that way this morning. First of all, let's take a few minutes to look at the command. This matter of giving thanks is attached with the command to pray throughout Paul's letters. In other words, you don't just find it here. In everything, give thanks. That is attached to the matter of prayer in many of Paul's other places. Let me show you two this morning. Turn back a few pages to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Turn to Colossians chapter 4 and look with me quickly at verse number 2 here. And then we're going to go to Philippians 4. All right? Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Look at what Paul said. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same. What's the next two words, church? With thanksgiving. So you got the combination of prayer and thanksgiving together. Now let's go back to Philippians 4. Again, just a few pages to your left if you're getting familiar with your Bible. Philippians chapter 4. Now watch with me beginning in verse number 6. Paul writes these words, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," watch this, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, folks, this is a vitally important verse for God's people. Listen, the result of obedience to what Paul says in verse number 6 is vital. And one reason it's vital is because the result of obedience to this is that you and I will enjoy the peace of God. Now, for a minute here, I want to remind us that there is a difference between peace with God and peace of God. That's two different things. Peace with God comes as a result of trusting Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Romans 5:1 put it this way, "Therefore, being justified by faith," listen, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, why do we need peace with God? Because, folks, as lost people, we are alienated from God. We are the friends of this world. And the Bible tells us in the book of James that friendship with the world makes us an enemy of God. And as an enemy of God, we are at war with Him. Now, wait a minute. You try to think back before you guys. So I don't remember Pastor being at war with God, shaking my fist at God, fighting against God. The war was not seen necessarily outside. The war was in here. There was conflict. We were engaged in conflict in our hearts because we're not at peace with God, that's what creates the conflict. Now listen, only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ can we be made righteous, and only when we are made righteous can we have peace with God. There might be somebody here this morning, you have no peace with God in your heart. No peace with God. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about real salvation. I'm not talking about just, you know, praying a prayer one time and no conviction and no nothing, no faith, no trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, just repeating words. Huh? Real salvation puts your heart at peace with God. Now, God hates our sin. He loves us, but He hates the sin. And because He hates our sin, we have no peace with Him. And folks, if you're here this morning and you're trying to go about, you know, getting to heaven your way, you know, your way of doing it rather than the Bible way, you're going to be at war with God until you surrender to His way in this matter of being saved. And that way is through His Son's death, burial, and resurrection. It is the same way for every person, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, English-speaking, Spanish-speaking, Navajo-speaking, Chinese-speaking, matters not. Matters not what's on the outside color of our skin. It's what's in this heart right here. There will be no peace with God until you surrender to God's plan of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Admiral Horatio Nelson was a real famous admiral in the British Royal Navy in the late 1700s. I think he died in 1805 or 1806. Now, he was well known for one thing specifically. He was a good admiral, but he was also well known because he treated his defeated foes with courtesy and respect and kindness. Kind of like they said that Ulysses S. Grant did to Robert E. Lee at Appomattox Courthouse back when the Civil War was over. So Admiral Nelson treated his defeated foes with kind of respect, courtesy, and kindness. Now, after a particular victory, the defeated admiral was brought on board Nelson's ship and to his quarters to make his official surrender. And this losing admiral, this defeated admiral, he knew of Nelson's reputation for being kind and being courteous and respectful to his defeated counterparts. And so when he got on Nelson's deck, Nelson was standing there, he immediately walked across the deck with his hand extended, approaching Nelson for a handshake. Nelson stood absolutely still with his hands beside his body. And the man stopped short with his hand extended, staring at Admiral Nelson. And Nelson said to him, "Your sword first, sir, then your hand." Now that makes all the sense in the world to me. In other words, he said, "We're not at peace until you surrender. You give up your sword, and then we'll have peace." And listen, if you're here today trying to get to heaven some other way than through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and trusting Him to be your personal Savior sincerely, if you're trying to do it some other way, that conflict that's going on in your heart will never be ended until you surrender to God's plan of salvation. Give it up. Give it up. And once you give it up, He'll take your hand. There will be peace with God. And maybe some of you need to surrender this morning. Surrender your way of trying hard enough. Surrender your pride and give your heart to Christ. Then take His hand and enjoy the peace of God that comes to your heart. That's peace with God. Folks, it's real. Look, I didn't know everything. October 15, 1975, I didn't know everything that took place when I trusted Christ as my Savior. But I'm going to tell you one thing I knew that night. I went home from that church with peace in my heart. That night. Now, hopefully I've learned a little bit since then. But that peace was immediate. That's peace with God. Okay? But now the peace of God, here in verse number 7, do you see it? Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, Paul is speaking about something different now than peace with God. This is the peace of God. He's writing to save people. He's writing to the church at Philippi. And he is writing, watch it, about being anxious or careful. Look at what he said again in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. That's full of care. That doesn't mean careful like you would be trying to put something delicate together. He's talking about being full of care, being anxious, being worried, being full of insecurity. Now, folks, listen very carefully. You know that worry and anxiety and insecurity can gnaw away at your insides and mess you up. And as a saved person who has peace with God, you can worry yourself to the point where you don't have the peace of God. That happens. And Paul says, don't be full of care for anything. You've got to be anxiety-free. You've got to be insecurity-free, worry-free as a child of God. And he says here in verse number 6, be careful, be full of care about nothing, but in everything by prayer. Not many people pray when they're tempted to be worried about something or anxious about something. They pray. And that's what Paul says to do. But he doesn't stop there. He says everything by prayer and supplication. Remember what supplication is? Supplication is strong crying. And that happens to God's people. They get full of care about things. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's some other, maybe it's a relational matter. You've got a child or your marriage is just not good, or you're full of care. And so you go to prayer, and then it's so intense and it's so fervent that it's not just asking God flippantly, oh God, please take care of this, in Jesus' name, amen. It's supplicating, it's crying. I mean, you're on your knees or you're going through your day and the tears are filling your eyes and running down your cheeks, and you may not verbally be expressing it, but in your heart, you're crying out to God. Oh God, help me. Oh God. You say, Pastor, that's where I am right now. I am praying, and I'm not just asking. I am strongly crying out to God in my heart, or even verbally at times when my family's not around, and still I have no peace. That's because He didn't stop there. There's a third element. And He says in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, watch it now, with thanksgiving. People, 1 + 1 = 3. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. And when you and I are tempted to be full of care and full of anxiety, and by the way, you say, well, you're up there, it must be nice to be a preacher. You never have anything to worry about. And I'm not talking just ministry. I have a life. I have a family. I have kids now, grandkids, more on the way. One. That's just one. Sure, I get full of care. I get anxious, worried. And God said, if you get in that kind of condition, anxious about something, you need to go to prayer and you need to be fervent about it, supplication, but you've got to look around and somewhere, somehow, in the moment of burden, in the moment of worry, in the moment of anxiety, as you're praying and crying out to God with that, you got to season it with some thanksgiving. Season it with thanksgiving. And look at the result, folks. Look at the promised result in verse number 7. He says, let everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God. And by the way, it doesn't stop there. Look at the next four words. Which passeth all understanding. By the way, that's the kind of God we have. Come on, folks. The truth, you know what's a shame? Really, our lives should be defined by walking with a God that you cannot explain. And He says here, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep your thoughts corralled. Keep your emotions corralled. Keep your decisions on course. That's what He's saying here. He's talking about a peace that miraculously comes as you and I season our strong request with thanksgiving. Oh, the wonderful peace of God, not found in a pill bottle, but found in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's why Matthew Henry, you reckon he was anxious? They took all his money that he had on him? Yet he found a way. He found a reason to be thankful. Be thankful. There's a thing to be, there's something to be thankful. And when we season our request with thanksgiving, you know, this dear lady back here, I mentioned lost her mom, but you know, and that's not easy. Man alive, your heart can be totally overwhelmed by losing your mother. But praise the Lord, she got saved about 6 weeks before she died, 8 weeks before she died. And in the depths of sorrow, man, I know where mom is. I know where she is. How important is peace in the midst of life's troubles worth? How important is it, folks? It's vital. And here's the formula. Here it is right here. You've got to pray. You're tempted to get worried and full of care. Okay, stop this. Come on now. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't go back to sleep because your mind's like a pinball machine. Right? It has to be corralled. Now, I want you, some of you know the song we sing out of the hymn book there. It is well with my soul. You know that song, right? A lot of you know the story behind the song, but maybe some of you don't. It's written by a man named Horatio Spafford. And he was a successful attorney who lived in Chicago. And he was good friends and a loyal supporter of D.L. Moody and his evangelistic campaigns and his ministry. And Moody and Sankey left for Great Britain on a ship going over to Great Britain to hold evangelistic campaigns. And they were going to be there for several months. And I think Moody did that more than once. And Spafford, after they left, Spafford got the idea. He said, you know what? I think I'm going to take my family on a little getaway, go over to England, see some of the things over there, and be a part of Moody's and Sankey's evangelistic campaigns. So in November of 1873, the scheduled trip took place, and at the last minute, just the day before, Spafford was detained by emergency business at his firm. And he sent his wife and four daughters ahead on the scheduled ship and said, I will come later. Halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was struck by another English vessel and sank in 12 minutes. His four daughters, Tanetta, Maggie, Annie, and Bessie, were among the 226 who drowned. All four of them. His wife was miraculously rescued. They brought a ship in, took the survivors on over there, and Spafford boarded a ship and sailed for Cardiff, Wales, to join up with his grieving wife. And the story is that hour after hour, he stood on the deck of that ship. And when the ship passed the approximate place where his four daughters died by way of drowning in the Atlantic Ocean. He was walking, he was in prayer to God, poured his heart out to God, and God gave him the song, "It is well with my soul." It's unbelievable. We're familiar with most of the verses in our hymn book. But there's a verse that never got published in a hymn book. I read it this week. And here's what the verse says. For me be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan pass shall roll o'er my soul, in other words, the depths of sorrow, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. That's what that's talking about. It's talking about in the depths of anxiousness, in the depths of worry, in the depths of sorrow, in the depths of grief, if I will pray and I will strongly cry out to God with my request and then season it with thanksgiving, somehow find a way to be thankful in spite of my sorrow. Peace, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever been blessed by that song? So 200 plus years later, God's people are still being blessed because he found the peace of God after four daughters were drowned at sea. We're talking about something real, folks. It comes as a result of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that's one reason, back to 1 Thessalonians 5, that's one reason why Paul wrote to these people and he said, in everything give thanks. You say, well, I cannot find any reason to be thankful in the midst of my sorrow. Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? I'm praying. Well, the very privilege of prayer is something to be thankful for. So he says, in everything give thanks. And that's what he said in the first part of the verse. That's the command that he gave us here. In everything give thanks. And boy, I tell you what, if we can learn to do that, the things in our life that bring us worry and anxiety, we can find the peace of God. The peace of God. Now, look at the explanation at the end of verse number 18. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to say two simple truths about this half of the verse, and I'll be done. Listen very carefully. Giving thanks in everything is the will of God. It's the will of God. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Does the will of God concern you at all? Are you concerned at all about living in the will of God? As a child of God, you should be. That should be the preeminent thought of your day, your moments. I want to live in God's will. And folks, it is vitally important that we live in God's will for our life. Listen, it's not just about where we live, it's how we live. It's not when we're going to do this or when we're going to do that. It's how we do this, how we do that. Some people, all they're concerned about is the when and the where and the how. No, that's not what we need to be concerned. The where, the when. What we need to be concerned about is how. How do I live in the will of God? Because here's why. Psalm 1 makes it very clear that being delightfully happy in this life is not the result of what we have. It's the result of how we live. And live, and boy, that's a permeating mentality today. Permeating mentality today is that if I can just get a bigger this, and a nicer this, and a better this, and a newer this, and a brand new this, I could be happy. You can get it all. You can get it all and still not be happy. Because happiness is not the result of what we have, it's how we live. How we live. And it's living in the will of God. As we live in the will of God, this man in Psalm 1, he's blessed. He's happy because he's living in the will of God. He's obeying God. And living day by day in the will of God is the way of happiness. Church, I'm saying these words on purpose this morning. Listen, I didn't say the way to happiness. It's the way of happiness. There is a difference in that. You understand that? Some people spend their lives pursuing the path to happiness. And if I can do this and have this and be there and have this, then I'll finally... And that's not it. That is a futile attempt. For a child of God, we live in the way of happiness. I'm happy whether I'm there or not. I'm happy whether I have that or not. I'm happy whether I'm driving a brand new car, an old piece of junk. I'm happy if I'm eating Navajo flatbread, fry bread, or if I'm eating a hot dog. I finally found something that's better for you, worse for you than a hot dog. Fry bread. Amen. And these are words I'm choosing on purpose this morning. It's not the path to happiness. It's the path of happiness. That's the will of God. The will of God. The will of God is the path of happiness, not to it. I experience it as I live in God's will. And so many people are living in futility today. Look, are you saved? A pursuit of happiness outside of the will of God is a futile pursuit. I don't care how noble your pursuit may be. If it's not in the will of God, friend, you're going to miss the way of happiness. That's the bottom line. Living in God's will, obeying His commands, is the way of happiness. And giving thanks in everything is a part of this is the will. Can God be any more specific about something? This is the will of God. So if I'm concerned at all about the will of God for my life, and all that I benefit from walking in it, I've got to find a way in times of anxiousness and worry. Look, folks, come on. It's easy to give. And I do the same. I'm guilty of the same thing. Something good happens. Something wonderful happens. And what do we say? God is good. And He is. But folks, that never changes. You know, you talk, and you're just in the ministry. You talk to a pastor. How's it going? Oh, man, we broke an attendance record. We had some people saved. And we were able to pay our building off. And man, and God is good. And He is. But when the attendance record is set the other direction, and when the scraping to pay the mortgage is just week to week, and nothing really visibly is seen as far as results, guess what, church? God is still good. Now, we say amen to that, but we don't live it. Bank account's okay, car's running, health is good, job's secure, marriage is tight, God's good. One of those things changes. Worry, worry, anxiety, worry, 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 worry. Oh, God's still good. It never changes about God. Giving thanks is the will of God. And giving thanks in everything is the will of God. And then let me say very quickly that giving thanks for everything is God's will for you. Because right now, somebody's sitting here thinking, well, that's true, but he's up there preaching. He just doesn't know my situation. I may not, but that doesn't change the verse. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Look at it. Last two words concerning you. So what's that mean in Christ Jesus? Pretty easy. Who is in Christ? If you're saved, you're in Christ. You're in Christ if you're saved. You don't have to guess if this command to give thanks in everything is for you. If you are saved, it's for you, it's for me. All the time. All the time. Now, nobody can live this 24/7. I shouldn't say can. Nobody does live this 24/7. We could, but we're carnal. We're fleshly at times. But man, my heart, in study of these simple commands, in study of that command this week, and I preached on this verse before, but I didn't go back and steal an old sermon and preach it to you this morning. There were two nights this week I got 3 hours sleep. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it was a brutal schedule. My mind's very fuzzy. But I purposely went to work studying and praying over this verse because I wanted to give you something fresh from God's oven. Not some day-old bread. In everything. Does this mean after today's message, I'll never again have a moment where I'm not giving thanks for everything? But maybe we'll do it more than we have for a while. Now, there's one thing I want to point out about these three commands, these first three commands. We'll finish them. But look at verse 16. Ready? Rejoice evermore, right? Now, look at the one we preached on this morning. In everything what? Give thanks. I think we could say, folks, that rejoice evermore is part of praising God. Right? And giving thanks is part of what? Praising God. You got a sandwich here. You praise God. You ask God. And you praise Him. That sandwich. Bread. Meat. Or pimento cheese. I mean, good stuff. I was down south this week. It was a blessing. Amen. Bread, salami, pimento cheese, mesquite smoked chicken, Cajun smoked turkey, okay? Bread, meat, tomato, lettuce. You got it, right? Bread, stuff in the middle, peanut butter, jelly, potato chips, all in there, right? Bread, stuff in the middle, and then what are they in? And then what? Bread, sandwich. So I praise God, and then I ask God, and then I praise God. And I am not preaching this morning that you and I can manipulate God. But I am saying this. When you and I sincerely learn to rejoice evermore, and in everything give thanks, we might have His ear when we need to ask Him for something. You praise, you ask, and you praise. These are wonderful verses, aren't they? Help us, Lord. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, would you please help us take this truth home? My goodness, I stand convicted here this morning. Even though I knew what I was going to say and looked at this verse previously, and I just stand convicted this morning. I need this. I need to practice it. I need to engage it. I need to employ it in my life, embrace it. God, help me. So tempted to murmur and complain. So easy just to be grumbly. To be overwhelmed with worry and anxiety, grief. God, help us. Thank you for your peace, the peace with you. Thank you for peace of you. Oh God, teach us this morning. Reach out and just grab our hearts, please. As only you can, dear Holy Spirit. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder today, Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart about this matter, very specifically this morning, something that was said about this matter of finding a reason to give thanks and everything. God spoke to me about it. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand as I pray in just a moment? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Amen, amen. 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 Folks, listen, this is not just an exercise in ritualism. You know what raising your hand is and responding? It's just responding to God. God honors us by speaking to us. Honors us. And raising your hand is just part of humbling yourself and honoring Him. Lord, yes, you spoke to me. You spoke to me. Anybody else, Pastor, include me, not by name, but just include. I'm just raising my hand to say, boy, I really need this. Someone else today. Yes. 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 Now, before I pray, I wonder if there's anybody here. Pastor Andrew, you preached about that war in the heart. I don't know if I'm saved. I have no idea. I have an ongoing conflict in my heart with God. No peace about my eternal destiny. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you just lift your hand like these others have? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. If you're saved this morning, you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, I would encourage you to do that in obedience to Christ. Step out and obey Him. If you've talked to us about joining the church and today's the day that you're going to do that, you know it's the will of God for you, then come or let one of these men know that you need to set up a time to talk about that. But I wonder this morning if there's people here that need to be saved and you ought to come, take one of these men by the hand and just say, I need to be saved or I need to talk to somebody about it. And then if God spoke to your heart this morning about this matter of in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall be yours. Keep your hearts in mind. Why don't you honor the Lord by showing Him that you mean business about it. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed now as they're closing. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. You obey the Lord today. You obey the Lord today. Obey. Just mind the Lord. Mind the Lord today. If you can't kneel, maybe you can stand. If you're not saved, you can come today and somebody can show you from the Word of God how to be saved and enjoy that peace with God that comes to everybody who trusts Christ. If you've been saved, need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, now's the time to come. Obey the Lord, step out, honor Him with your obedience. Let's turn our minds toward heaven. Let's be thankful in times of worry, times of anxiety, times of difficulty. Let's find a reason to be thankful. Find a reason to be thankful. As God speaks to hearts, you obey the Lord this morning. You obey Christ. You, ladies. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for Your Word, grateful for the dear Holy Spirit that teaches us and instructs us in these manners, and Lord, that sometimes reaches out and just really hammers our heart with something. And God, may we not forget, may we leave this place today determined, finding a way, be reminded that in the midst of anxiety and worry to pray and cry and then add a little thanksgiving. And miraculously, supernaturally, You will provide that peace. It's hard to explain. What a blessing. Bless our people. Bless today. Give us a wonderful service tonight as only You can. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.